When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's Governor's Cup week. It's rivalry week. This is 11 Personnel. I'm Nick Roush, joined by my good friend, Mr. Adam Luckett. As always, brought to you by our friends at Monticello Bank. Mr. Luckett, feels like it's been a whole 2 hours since I last talked to you. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I've had better days, for sure. Weeks, months.
It's been rough. When you only win one game since September, I went back and looked. Yeah, it's only one game since September. There's a reason why Kentucky football fans are down on the Wildcats. Things aren't going well. But, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the big picture problems, what's gone wrong as of late. We're also going to just get into the nitty-gritty and handicap this SOB and talk cats and cards. We're also going to answer some of your questions from KS Board. Remember, UK1's the promo code. When you sign up, you get 2 points for $1. UK1 at KSR Plus. But before we get into all the nitty-gritty, I do got to remind you about our friends at Monticello Bank. Go anywhere the cats go, because that's where Monticello Bank is. It's where the people are first. It's been their motto for 128 years. Because they're putting people first. And now you can bank wherever with the GoNBC mobile app. Whether you're at home, on the road, following the cats, or you can go see them, 21 branches in 14 different markets across the state, where people matter at Monticello Bank. You can find them online at nbcbank.com. Monticello Bank, an equal housing lender, member FDIC. Look it. We've had a lot of time to reflect on what the hell's going on here. I've shared some of my thoughts on KSR Plus, some of the folks I've talked to, some of the things I've heard along the way, and, you know, it's not all great, it's not all terrible, but it's not all great at
Nick,
all.
Do you remember the buzz around this team in fall camp?
Yeah. It was fun. A lot of fun.
So what happened? That's what I really want to know. Like, what went off track over there?
See, and that's the part that's very difficult to know, because the sense that I got is really just there's not really any leaders just holding this thing together. And the way that Mark Stoops has built this thing, having players got to do their part, right? I mean, whether that's fair or not, they have to do a decent amount of contributions. And essentially the structure of this team, you were going to rely on a bunch of transfers to come in and get it done. And that's not been the case. Yes, on offense. And that's why I think the thing that Mark Stoops has – He said it in his press conference, and then he really hit that hammer over the head in his coach's show on Tuesday night. He talks about showing resolve, and you say, oh, well, they don't have any resolve. Defensively, they've done a good job of responding when they needed to, and I think that's evident with having players at all three, like D-Jack and Trevin. They've got a good relationship. Harrison's a dog. Deion's a dog. You're seeing that defensively. Since that Tennessee game, they've really stepped up whenever they kind of needed to stop the bleeding. But offensively, there's just an absence of any sort of gumption, right? By the players that you need to have it, your best players in that locker room, and you're just not getting it. And I think that part of that comes with when you went out to the transfer portal to get the best available, you might not have got the best fit available.
Yeah. So I would assume when just, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when you think they're having leadership problems, I think you're assuming, or we're kind of thinking it's on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's the square. So let's unpack this here.
Yep.
How many coordinators have they had since 2020?
Four?
Three.
Five?
Four hires, right? Gran, Cohen, Rich, Scangarello, Cohen.
Oh, and you had interim Mero, too.
Yeah.
Can't forget the big dog fence.
And they wouldn't even tell us who the interim was last year for the bowl game for some
weird reason.
Silly reason. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't even matter. Okay, you've had all that. So what is that? That's had a trickle-down effect to me in the recruiting, right? I wrote a big story on this week, which is basically they've had one offensive star. They have one starter from the 2019 and 2020 recruiting class, high school recruiting classes on offense, Eli Cox.
Yep.
That's it. And then you look, it's not, but like, those are the worst ones, but it's not much better in 2021, right? It's Dingle and Burton. That's it. Right. And Jagger Burton, the book's out on him, whether he's going to be a good player here or not, right? As of right now, it's been two kind of average years. I might be being kind there. Dingle's shown some promise. Unfortunately, he's been hurt a couple times now. And then the next year, you've got Dane Key, Berrien Brown, and Josh Caddis. They're just not recruiting well enough at high school at that position. So, how in the hell are you supposed to have leaders if these guys can't play? That you bring in and you cultivate in your culture, right?
Yeah.
Like I hear, like what Cohen said, we have to find leaders, like in the portal. To me, that's ass backwards, right? Isn't it? Like you should. Those are the guys. Your leaders should be the guys that have been in your program for 4 or 5 years.
Well, yes, but also Kentucky's always had transfers at quarterback. Your quarterback needs to be a leader. So
yeah. Yeah, but there's, like, I'm sure a lot of this is on Devin Leary, but he's not the only one, I would assume.
Yes, that's correct. Now,
my thing is, there's the structure of it is just broken, right?
Yeah.
They're a mercenary offense.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and hired a bunch of independent contractors, essentially. And it's blown up in their face. They hired the wrong ones. They've gotten some bad fits, it seems like. And it's concerning. This is where they're at. And it's frustrating that this is where they're at. The way they're recruiting on offense is not sustainable. Not only is it not sustainable, that is crappy way to operate. That's like a 3-9 operation, the way they're recruiting on offense right now in the high school ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to kind of find this happy balance until water finds its level. But first things first, man, like you need to get better at recruiting high schoolers. Like Shamar Porter, need him to be good. Kobe Keenum, you need him to be a multi-year starter. We've heard good things about Malachi Wood. You need him to be a player for you.
Yeah.
And the list goes on. Anthony Brown Stevens is really important. And that to me, that's just kind of that's the story in a nutshell, right? They really let maybe one bad recruiting batch kind of ruined this thing. And then there's the questions, Nick, I have.
Yeah.
There's a guy on this team who quit last year.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've reported that.
Yeah. I always say essentially quit because I'm trying to be nice to Tavion Robinson, but he's the oldest. He's the only receiver in the room that's over a second-year player besides Dekel Crowdis, who, I mean, he might have – what's that guy?
Yeah, so I just – you know – That's just, I don't think that's how you should be operating over there, in my opinion. Now, I'm not in the locker room, whatnot, but we can only kind of go on what we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of problems over there. And it's, you know, I worry because they're going to have to go portal heavy again, right? You know, they're going to have to be very careful and get their kind of guys. But, I mean, I think this is going to be an issue again next year. Like, who are you going to get that's going to come in and be a leader? What that means essentially is they practice like crap.
Yes.
They don't do what they're told, essentially.
Heath is asking, what does leadership really mean? And a lot of it just comes down to daily routinized practice habits, because the way that Wandale Robinson and Will Levis became leaders is because they just went in and did the work, and so they gained respect, and when people told them what to do, they listened. And like the part to me that's really frustrating is, I mean, Leary hasn't done this. He's certainly fallen short in that regard. He's fallen short in a lot of ways. I'm not going to try to be too hard on him because it's been a bad year for him. The one that really just kind of made me mad the other night, like it was Ray chirping on social media, because he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, right? Like a leader doesn't commit a penalty that is responsible for erasing a third down conversion. I mean, right. And Kentucky has the worst third and distance to go. I think it's something like 8.8 yards per. I got to go and check this, but their third and to go is the worst in the nation. It's because of stuff like that. And then you can't go and make mistakes like that. That should be basic routine things that you've worked your way through. And then also complain about not getting more carries when you're just doing things that is self-inflicted mistakes. So a lot of it is just good, positive, routinized habits that, that this team has not formed. And I think
that it's, yeah, they're not playing team football.
Yeah.
There's probably some individual stuff going on. But Nick, like, if you bring a guy off the street who hasn't been in your system, some that maybe have been at multiple schools, you have to know that's a threat if things get sideways, that they're probably going to.
Yeah.
Look up. I mean, the goal is to get players to the NFL. Or they're trying to get to the next level. So they're going to be some me over we. And that's, you know, but when you get guys from the high school and you can get, you know, if you get them in where there are multiple years where they take pride, where this is their school, their program. See,
and that's the difference.
That's what they're missing right now.
In the NFL, you have vets that have been there for a while, so it works, right? But offensively, they don't have that. And I forgot where, I guess we were talking about the football podcast where you just get the extremes. You know, I've got a lot more in the insider notes on KSR Plus. But the one thing that I've heard some wild stuff about how bad this locker room is, but then I've heard the exact opposite spectrum. We're like, no, everything's fine. This is totally normal. And I think there's a degree to both, right? Where like it can seem very bad at times because people are pissed off. But also this happens at the end of every season when players who don't perform well just start saying they'd be better off somewhere else and they're just going to go in the portal and they'll be better. It's amplified when you only win one game since September.
All right. When you know, like, in your last six, yeah.
Yeah. Like you're going to think that it's not a me problem, it's everybody else problem sort of deal. So, but I do think there is the lack of leadership has made there's nobody in there keeping that locker room in shape. So when stuff's going astray on the offensive side of the ball, like, you mentioned Eli Cox being the one guy, like he tried really hard to do that, but he also hasn't played well enough. Same thing with Kenneth Horsey. Like that dude just hasn't played. Like you needed for that to work. You got to be a badass that everyone respects. Right. And imagine doing that to some of them receivers trying to get their asses in line. You think that's going to work? You know, like it's just,
yeah,
it's tough. I mean, it's, they're in a bad spot. And so I think what a lot of, the in hindsight, the roster construction was bad. But you know what? The crazy part is if Leary's better and they win a couple more games, you know, like early that's on, right?
That's the sport, though.
Yeah, like that. But that's what's crazy is if they just win, if one or two more of those early toss-up games, like none of this just unravels in the nature that it has.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that, too, is like, what if I won the lottery? Well, you didn't. So we got to talk about what's real and what's true here right now.
Yeah.
And like Mark Stoops said, I don't like live in hypotheticals. We're not doing hypotheticals here. This, you are what you're. The results are the results. The results be the results, and that's what and we're doing here.
They gambled and lost, right? They made a big gamble with the portal, and they lost on their mercenary bets.
Yeah, and so my big question is, how do you get out of that? Right, that means you got young players. You got to get them in, and you got to develop them and make them good starters. The problem I see is that's not really happening in these younger classes. That's what scares me, really, is that they're going to keep just going down this path. And what have we seen that makes us think that they're going to hit, that this won't happen again? Like, I think it'll happen again if it keeps going down this path. Because we went through the recruiting results, they're not developing and getting these players in from high school to starter roles and growing them that way. Now, it is harder today with the player retention because guys can leave and you can't stash guys. Mm-hmm. But quite frankly, Nick, the guys that are leaving aren't any good. You know?
Some of it, too, is the and develop part, right? Like, yeah. You recruit and develop. You got to get it better developmentally. And
they're just they've got to figure out a lot on offense. Number one, who do they want to be? Like, who are we? And what do we want to do? And what do we want to hang our hat on? And we heard Liam Cohen talk about that on Tuesday. Now, part of this I don't agree with. Like, there is very much I feel like that they think, like, they can get the O-line built back and they can get back to just ass-kicking everybody. But I don't think Landon Young, Drake Jackson, and Darian Kennard are walking through that door.
And here,
those were legit blue chip guys that could have went just about anywhere in college football, and Kentucky got them in a 2-year recruiting period, and they were all 4-year starters, and they all kicked major ass all 4 years. I just don't think that's happening again. So they're gonna have to learn to win without just bullying people at the point of attack, and that's, I think, the most scary part. When I look at the future of this offense, I just don't think that's coming back here. And so you've got to be able to do it somehow else. And I just keep hearing them talk about that. And I'm like, man, like, I really think we got to figure out a different way to do this.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, Luckett, I mean, there was a stretch that the state of Kentucky produced Jedrick Wills, Landon Young. Yeah. I mean, who's the last state of Kentucky, guys, come on, let's get some.
Eli Cox is more the norm. Not to say anything bad about Eli, but he's going to be a multi-year.
He's like Mason Wolf was a good player that played a while, rotated. You know, like, that's more exactly to your point. The problem is the state hasn't done a very good job of producing that sort of talent in recent years.
That's
you
why
hope you can get some of those from Ohio, but to your point And that's why, like, he's saying that, but there's also part of it where they're talking about, like, all right, the other part of the equation that I think you might agree with is that Cohen talking about going to a more up-tempo, we're not going to huddle every time, what you've heard publicly, I've heard behind closed doors and much more, it's been reaffirmed.
Matter of fact,
we're going to go about it this way. Now, stylistically, how much of the pro concepts where you've got to mix in the run, the physical run game with the play action, like, how much of it includes spread now? That you know, I'm sure Cohen's gonna spend 3 months trying to figure that out, watch tape and all that. But I am pretty confident that they're going to at least get to that point and try that. I also wonder how much of when Cohen says we got to be physical at the point of attack and all that sort of stuff is just like that's just what Stoops. Like, it's just like we got to say this over and over until we start getting dudes who are going to start punching the opponents in the mouth in the trenches.
Yeah. Yes. I think I don't want to be all negative Nancy. I think what Cohen said, I needed to hear. I think it was a good thing. And now it's low hanging fruit to kind of say, why wasn't he doing it this way? Mark Stoops hired him to run a certain style of offense.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now that style is just not working. It's not hitting here.
Yeah, it hit with the right guys, but you had three pros in a pro style offense, and you had a bunch of pros.
Even then, they were running the Rams offense, but it was like an offshoot version. It wasn't because I think they thought they would come in run wide zone play action and just be a bear to deal with, and it didn't. It hasn't really worked out like that. But I think what Cohen said was good to hear, because now it's like, all right, figure out what guys who have been in the NFL that are running college offenses are doing. So, like, watch Ohio State with Ryan Day. Watch Sark with Texas. Watch Jed Fish with his offenses at Arizona. Guys like that who are having some success kind of blending, where they still do get under center and still do that stuff, but they can mix in tempos and do all of that. That's what Kentucky's kind of got to figure out. So that was a good thing, I think. I was worried they're going to be like dead set on huddling. Yeah. And it seems like they're okay with getting rid of that. And then they got to get out of the, I know a lot of this is like to be in the condensed formations, because if you're in condensed formations, it's harder to play man coverage. You can get zone. So if you know what zone a team's comfortable in, it's easier to read. That's part of the reason why you do it. But that box is just getting too crowded, and the line they have just can't handle it.
Yeah.
You know, spread it out, make it easier on those guys, get your athletes in space, take advantage of the hash marks, take advantage of some of the sub rules when you can go tempo. So I think that was good to hear. Now, he's going to have to talk to the head honcho about how fast he can go, because we know Mark Stoops does not want going 100 miles an hour. But, like, they were no huddle throughout Grant's time, Nick. And they would mix in tempo with him.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to look some more like that, I would imagine.
So there was somebody who asked me on Twitter, well, why didn't they do this sooner? And part of me says maybe they could have during the bye week, but I don't think you can just
bowl game. I think you'll see them dabble in it.
Yeah, because here's the thing: is if you do the same thing for 4 months, it's really hard to change it up. They did it one time with Lynn Bowden, and that was out of damn necessity, right? Like, they had to completely overhaul everything because there was no other option.
Yeah, I think a lot of this too, Nick. Like, I think Cohen probably wants to and needs to do a real kind of deep dive and figure out what exactly fits their personnel,
mm-hmm.
fits their structure, and will succeed against SEC defenses. I think there's going to be a lot of we've got to kind of try to figure out what's going to work best here. And so that's just not, hey, go, let's get in stacks and run four verts all game. I mean, I think it's more a little bit more complicated than that. So they have to figure it out. And Cohen has to figure that out. So, I think it's a fair criticism that why didn't they have something baked in this year, especially with Leary's background, to kind of do some of that stuff. So I think that's fair to criticize it. But they've kind of committed to what they wanted to be. So you got to try to figure that out the best you can. And that's just where they are right now. And it's unfortunate where they are.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot to figure out on offense. I think the program as a whole is kind of really in a scary point because there's been a lot of warning signs to me the last 2 years that are getting very, very hard to ignore. And so, it's easy to see this getting, to me, it's almost easy to see it getting worse before it gets better. And that's scary. And so it's a really important offseason. They got a lot to figure out. And it's 2 years in a row, Nick, where they feel kind of lost the locker room.
Well, that's
kind of like it is.
That's a question that Austin White asked on KS Board. I think some of it is you can be player-led, but you need really good leadership at certain positions. And I'm talking about coaches, everything. We talked about it before the season. You were going to be very reliant on that wide receiver room. Your old head in there was Tavion Robinson, right? There was going to be some stuff. So you need to have somebody in there who is a very strong just force to be reckoned with. And if there's one position that I mean – do we need to go through the murderer's row of wide receivers coaches here at the University of Kentucky under Mark Stoops? It's quite the lineup. And even somebody who's been there for them all would probably struggle to list them all. You had Boni, Michael Smith, Lamar Thomas, Tommy Maynard. I'm missing one, right? Woodward, Maynard, obviously.
You went Maynard. He was here 3 years. Then you went Lamar, who was
so here Lamar too. Was after Maynard. Okay.
Yeah, and then you went, I think straight from Lamar, they went to
Michael Smith.
It was Michael Smith. That's right. Then yeah. Boo Knight.
Yeah.
Then Woodward. Yeah, they. There hasn't been a good.
Yeah, room. Yeah. It's been rough. So I, you know, and that's not to just put all of it and lump it all on the wide receivers, but I do think there was the stuff you talk about, stuff catching up, right? I think the hiring people at weird times is catching up. Woodward got promoted after Boo Knight gets a DUI. He was just a quality control guy.
Right.
Boo Knight gets a weird DUI. Buff got promoted. But then that was at the right time. As like it was a normal time. But then Collins comes in to fill in for Klink because Klink leaves in May. You have the Cohen hire, weird timing. Like just a lot of that stuff has really added up, you know. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that just it just does. It's okay to have one of those as a one-off where you have a weird hire. But a lot of them had added up. And then to add to it, you add Stoops' brother in, who had taken like 2 or 3 years out of being a primary assistant and recruiting regularly. Like it's just,
yeah.
It's a big, that's a big mess. So I think what a lot of we're going to see, I'm curious too, because they fired, they didn't keep Settle around for signing day, did they? They just got rid of his ass, right?
Pretty sure, yeah. Bulwer was in here. Yeah, because he closed on Jamarian Wilcox around that time, yeah.
So I'm curious if it's going to be just cut and bait away.
Like I guess it's Ben's probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we had 4 or 5 different new coaches back in 2015. I don't know if it'll get up to 5, but it'll probably be close to that number.
Yeah. Just think about this, Nick, right? 2020, the COVID, so that was all everything was messed up. Liam Cohen and the Rams are in the playoffs, so he can't get here until late.
Yeah.
Right? The next year, you know, they kind of have a normal December, January. Then he leaves.
Yep.
You know? So then Rich comes in late. And then you fire Scangarello. And then Cohen he can't be here until January. So they've had this weird kind of thing with offensive coordinator.
They're basically missing a month with one of their head honchos around.
A really important month. Now, I know Cohen was involved with everything's going on, but it's different. Like, half foot in, half foot out.
Yeah.
Because he was working 2 jobs. It's going to be, like, this would be the first time, man, since, like, really, after the 2019 season, where they just had a normal offensive coordinator offseason situation, right? They've just had so much, like, kind of weird churn of moving parts in that position that you have to think that will help. And especially when in an offseason where I think like the fit box is going to be extra important on offense and not just person or scheme fit, more of like cultural person fit with their locker room. I think that's going to be very important. I mean, there's just so much, man. They've got Mark Stoops. If he was a mechanic, he's got like 16 cars to work on, and he's got to get them done in 2 days. I mean,
Or he's just got my car. And,
or he's got your car. There's just so much they have to get fixed. I just think about this offseason if they lose on Saturday.
Well,
like, what is that going to look like?
That's where STC80KY on the board said that. MJ said the football players are fired up. Can you confirm? That is one thing that I have. Not only did we get Deion trash talking, the folks I've talked to were very much, I think we're going to get a very much inspired at least start to this game. Now
we're going to get into what happens when adversity hits.
we're going to get into it, but it's going to be an exciting start. It's going to be crazy. You need to be there for it. You need to download the Game Time app or visit gametime.co. Go find yourself some tickets for Saturday's game at L&N Federal Credit Union Stadium. Yes, that's the name of it now. The artist formerly known as Papa John's. Use your promo code KSR. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase with Game Time, the fastest, best way to get last-minute tickets. It's officially a sellout, but the best thing about Game Time is they have these flash deals at the last minute to make sure you had the best price, guaranteed no matter what. And I'm actually, I'm my phone's on the wrong internet. It's moving a little bit slow because I'm trying to move it up. What I like about the Game Time app too, you see your seats before you buy them, and they do all-in pricing too. So it's not like you're going to get tagged with a bunch of random fees that you don't expect or anything like that. It's just the price is what it is. It says it right there on the Game Time app. So go ahead, download it, get your butts in the seat, and get there early with our friends at the Game Time app. I'm seeing right now $69 you can get in into the game. Ooh, another fun thing you can do. $66. That's a pretty sweet deal for a couple of tickets to the sellout game. You know, they also got I've only been once, but going to the races on Thanksgiving, sign me up. Game Time, they've got tickets for that everywhere. Download the app. Promo code KSR for $20 off your first purchase. I bring up the beginning of the game because I definitely have to be worried that all of this energy is just going to be taken out on fights and not on execution offensively. Defensively, I really think defensively they're going to be able to keep this game close. Kentucky has the best explosive run defense in the SEC. There's some pretty good explosive run defenses in the SEC. Really, Cody Schrader is the only one that's got him and gashed him.
But that was only one run.
Yeah, I mean, like that. They've done a great job. I want to say it's four rushes of over 20 yards they've allowed all year. And that's what Louisville really makes their hay on, right? Even though Jawar Jordan hasn't been healthy for the last couple of weeks, Isaac Grindo's a physical back who he pops a couple, right? He had that one against Virginia that saved the game for him. But that's Louisville's best offense, is just turning around, handing the ball off, and letting them get a big run. And I don't think they're going to be able to do that. So I do think if you go out and you win the toss, look at Kentucky can set the tone early defensively. It's just offensively, what are we going to get here, right? Because the quote after the South Carolina game that Liam had about, like, well, you'd run it well, and then the pass would fall apart, you pass it. Like, that's just been the whole year for this team. So I don't know what the hell is going to happen offensively.
I'm with you on defense. I think the defense is going to play good enough for Kentucky to win this football game. I just don't know. I don't think the offense can do it. You kind of look at Louisville, Nick. Just if you were going to tier offenses Kentucky has faced, Louisville's in that group with Florida, Missouri, and South Carolina. And even the Missouri score is big, but you kind of have to look at the game script. Mm-hmm. And Kentucky held them under 5 yards per play. Really took Schrader out of the game. And then Brady Cook didn't get really any explosive passes. It was a bunch of dink and dunk.
His runs almost hurt him as much as anything.
Right. And so, like, I think Kentucky's going to hold Louisville to right around 5 yards per play. And then depending on field position and turnovers, I think they'll probably hold Louisville to 20-ish points. And they're going to be right in that, right there. You have a chance to win it. If that's the case, and I think it will be the case, I just worry about Kentucky's offense, Nick, to your point, right? I think we'll know. I'll almost feel like I'll know first drive. If Kentucky goes down and scores on their first possession, I think they'll have a real good chance to win this game Saturday. If they don't, I think they're probably going to lose by like 10. And then we got to kind of look at the results, Nick. This offense is not good on the road, right?
It's not traveled. Scored
17 points, offensive points against Mississippi State, 14 against South Carolina, 31 against a bad Vanderbilt defense, 13 against Georgia, which might have been their best performance of the year. They haven't been good away from home. And we've really seen them in two, like, rowdy atmospheres in this. That was Georgia and South Carolina, where they didn't get a defensive score to kind of make it different, and they couldn't handle it.
Was it 21-0 at Georgia or 14? They all run together for
together.
Me.
I don't know. They all run together, but the long story short, they just haven't handled playing on the road well offensively, and how do you trust them this week? Mm-hmm. Leary's getting passes batted down at the line. Almost every fourth time he drops back, they're going to have some protection bust against a Louisville defense that's going to bring a lot of pressure. And Louisville has got physical, sticky man corners who will hold and grab. And as a receiver, you got to play through contact, and you got to win at the line of scrimmage and get guys off of you and go get open. What makes us think that Kentucky receivers are going to be able to do that? I just thought it's hard for me to see it with the offense, and it's really, really frustrating because I feel like it can be another game, Nick, where it's like, man, if they could just score 24 points, they probably win this game. But how many times could we have asked that question, the Mark Stoops era? And that's kind of how I see that game playing out.
And that's the part too where if you had the Berrion Brown that you thought you were going to get, there would be a time where he would get free on one of those pressure packages and just get loose for a 75-yard score. But you haven't seen it, right? Yeah. Like you need the guy that can just catch it and run away from him, and he has not done that. I just don't – the guy that was just, like, weaving his way through an Ole Miss defense that was not that bad, I don't know what happened to that guy. It looked so natural. It looked so easy to him. And, you know, I don't know where that guy went. And the part of it that worries me the most in all of this is just the confidence in these players when things don't go their way. You know, do they even trust that if the right play's called up that they can execute? Because that's what a lot of it comes down to, is Devin Leary not trusting his arm and just throwing rifles in. It's not just floating out there and letting your guy go make a play. There's a lack of trust, a lack of confidence with one another, because the offense has played bad team football all year. And that's why Cohen's statement rings true, right? Because it's just one bleep up after another. The run, got a good run drawn up, guys are blocking the wrong guys. You got a good pass drawn up, guy drops it. If ball's bad, it gets a bad throw. Like, it's always somebody. It's always something. It has been a bad team offensive operation. And we thought with Liam Cohen, that was going to be the positive, right? And that was going to be how we got through the Rich Scangarello era. And I think that's what's most frustrating is Rich just didn't know what the hell he was doing. Liam knows what he's doing, but he can't get his guys to do it. And it's just like,
I think the record's the same if Scangarello's here.
Yeah. I don't know if it's any different.
Yeah.
It's been slightly better. I know somebody was like, well, their offense is scoring 3 points less than Liam's first go around or something. It's like, all right.
Yeah, to me, I think all of that, you could have made that case. I was making that case online, really, for most of the year. But that South Carolina result was damning to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's gonna be hard for me to get over, personally. And I think it's going to be hard for a lot of people to get over.
Well, and before you finish your thought quickly, because even though the look to Berrion Brown's there, what makes you trust that Berrion Brown could make that play over 10 games of the season? Like, that's where the disconnect is, right? Just because it's a good play design and he got past the guy and he's free doesn't mean that we believe he's actually going to execute it. So does it actually make it a good play? So that's where I can agree with you. Proceed.
It's just what – I mean, I don't care if you're running the tush-push all the way down the field or you're running a veer and shoot, or you're running Shanahan McVay, or you're running whatever. You've got to go score points on that South Carolina defense. Like, just bottom line. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just go score points. And that they didn't do that in a big moment in the season. And, like, it was just a damning result to me. On top of, Nick, like, you lose to Vanderbilt last year, which you can say the defense didn't hold up its end of the bargain, but, like, all you had to do was score 24 points in that game. You win, you know. We keep pointing the finger at this, that they just can't score. That offensively, they just can't figure it out, and they've tried everything. And it's really frustrating. And until they can figure that out, like, I think we're going to have the same issues. And it's only going to get harder, man. Like, Josh Heupel's at Tennessee, Jeff Brohm's at Louisville. Those dudes are going to score points. Like, if you want to beat them, the two fan bases that matter the most the two teams that matter the most on your fan base's schedule, the two teams you got to beat to get the you want the money, you better go beat those teams.
You want that's the fan support, yeah. You want people to pony up, yeah.
So you got to go score points, man. Like, it's just, it's simple as day. And until they can start doing that, like, it, I mean, what are we even talking about? You know, that's really what it's all about. And that's why, you know, it's just so frustrating. And then, like, you just give wins to the everybody else in your, now that matters less, everybody else in your division, that matters less now, but man, it's embarrassing to go 2-7 at home in your last 9 SEC games. It's bad. Mm-hmm. There's no getting around. It's bad, man. Like, Stoops has accomplished a lot, and he's done a lot of good things, but that is bad, man. You cannot do, and we talked about this in Rap Reaction after the Bama game. Like, that's a big part of all of this, is winning home games, beating teams your fans like to make fun of. That's a big part of all of this. Like, you, there's some games you just got to win. And, you know, man, you can't. You let these other teams hang it over, dangle it over your head. And that's when the support dries up, when stuff like that happens. And you just got to win some of these games. They're losing games. The 50-50 games that they can't lose. And now all of a sudden, Nick, they can't win a close game to save their life. Like, we get in the fourth quarter of these games, and it's just like they, like the Monstars come and steal their talent. I mean, it's just been really, really frustrating. Well, yeah, you say that, but tell me what that fourth quarter looked like in South Carolina.
Trying to do the Sean Bradley when he just starts walking down the court like a zombie. I do want to mention before we start wrapping this thing up. Can we please just pick off Jack Plummer a couple times? I would really like that because he's not very good, and that's how you keep this thing close. Because the defense is one
in general, yeah.
Yeah, like the defense kind of bailed out the offense there for a while by turning over opponents early in the year. So my worry, though, is just they're not throwing it Max Harrison's way. You know, maybe Jack Plummer's unwise enough to do it, but they're just not throwing it his way, and he's the guy who's making all the plays.
Yeah, I think a lot of that stop the run, get rid of the balance. Yeah, I mean, imagine Tush Push when Lynn Bolden was here, guys. Like,
yeah.
Just imagine that.
Bigs, just imagine it down the field. It would be funny.
When Benny was here, they would have just taught Benny how to take a snap, and they would have done that all the way down the field.
Oh, man.
And so, yeah, I mean, if you can make, like, it's anything. If you can make a one-dimensional, you know, that's going to help out. And then Plummer, Nick, even against Miami, it was a lot of, like, dumping it off the tight ends.
Yeah.
They're very much, like, they've even talked about this, I think, to, like, the broadcast teams. And any Louisville broadcast, you hear them talk about complimentary football. Get a lead. Run the football. Stay, keep, you know, sit on it. Oh, this is how Louisville wants to play. I think that's Brom telling them. We want to run the ball. We want to get a lead. We want to play to our defense. We don't want to make mistakes. And so, and I think he learned a lot of that playing in the Big Ten. I think he would, Brom from 2015 probably would have been different. But I think that's where being in the Big Ten helped him. They were kind of figuring out, you know, especially when you got a good defense, just play complimentary football. Don't make mistakes. Let the other team make mistakes. So I think that's. But if you can't stop, if they get the run going and they get the play action pass game going, it could be a long day. But yes, you can force Plummer into some mistakes, and that's key to the game, right? Is that he misses on some throws, maybe Kentucky gets a pick or a fumble, sack fumble, something like that, or he makes kind of a big mistake and that can maybe swing the game. So yeah, that could definitely happen. But we'll have to see. I just don't know if even if it does happen, I just don't know if the offense is good enough. Nick, they haven't scored a fourth quarter touchdown. In any of these close games.
Yeah, in any of the close games whatsoever. Hey, you see the line is up to 7.5 on FanDuel?
I did see that on FanDuel today.
Our friends at FanDuel, Louisville is -7.5. They also have some player props up early, too.
We've got a couple written down.
Oh, what do you got over there? Because I feel like Isaac Grindo, anytime touchdown at -135, is a nice little snack
on the list
to add to the single game parlay. What else you got in there, Mr. Lucky?
That is on there. I've got Jack Plummer over 240.5.
Okay.
Because I think Kentucky is going to stop the run, and that's going to force them to get a little pass heavy. But Kentucky. Okay. have given up, you know, they're willing to give up completions. So give me that. UK team total, Nick, under 20.5 for the reasons we just talked about. They just have a score on the road.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
And then first quarter, under 10.5 points.
All right. For the Cats?
Just period? The game. Under 10.5.
Oh, well, sloppy start. Ooh, that's a 10-1 single game parlay. Ooh, that is tasty, Mr. Luckett. We didn't hit one all year, and we're going to do it big to end the regular season.
There you go.
Love it. Absolutely love it. You can get in on the action with our friends at FanDuel. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, America's number one sports betting app in the world. Put in promo code PERSONNEL, place a $5 money line bet, win it, $150 in bonus bets instantly. Folks, there's plenty of sports going on right now. I was watching a little Maui Invitational Final here. Thought Marquette was going to hit the three to send it in overtime. Plenty of opportunities to win that $5 money line bet. Get your $150 in bonus bets with our friends at FanDuel. Just use the promo code PERSONNEL when you sign up or visit FanDuel.com/PERSONNEL. Must be 21 and present in the state of Kentucky. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.Sportsbook.com. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Lucky, will this be your first time covering a game at the University of Louisville?
Went in 2021.
You did do 2021 too?
Yeah. Wife called me frantically because the dogs were fighting at home and she was pregnant.
I remember that.
So that was my biggest memory from the first time. That and the prime rib.
Ooh, gotta love a good carving table. We had one at South Carolina. We're probably going to get another one. I'm curious for the YouTube chat. Do you got anything I need to share with any of the Brahms tomorrow? Like, what kind of trash talk should I work with here? Or should I just, like, straight stunner somebody through a table and try to knock them out? Like, is that our best hope at winning? Is Jeff showing up in a neck brace? That would backfire.
You should walk up to Jeff.
In a neck brace and do the, like, do I have a pulse? Yes, I am. Let's play football.
You should walk up to Jeff just straight right in the face. You know Mike Glazer's a better coach than Dennis Lampley, and then just walk away and see what he does.
Oh, man, that'd wreck him. Or I thought you were to say walk up straight to the face and Ryan Lemond his ass, you know, just drop
him. No. I mean, that might happen because that's Trinity fighting words over there for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah, but you guys, they're still playing this weekend, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
They are still playing this weekend, which semifinals. It's always – how many Thanksgiving practices did you get to attend? I got to go to two. That's always – you know you're doing well if you're playing football on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, two. Varsity. Sophomore and junior year, we made it to state, so we had practice this week.
We even had a little bit of snow flurries for one of them. And, like, Thursdays are walkthrough anyway, so it's kind of fun to just – you know, go out there with sweatpants on and cleats and run around in the mud. It was definitely muddy that day as well. So to all the high school football teams that are still playing, good luck this weekend. It's a blast. You'll have the time of your life. Should be good football weather, too, in the 50s this weekend.
Awesome.
And for fans, too, we were talking about on the way out of South Carolina, the weather has just been absolutely immaculate all year. You got a little bit of rain at the end of the Missouri game, but for the most part, it's been great. You're getting a noon kickoff, so you're getting the peak heat of the day at Cardinal Stadium. So it should be a lot of fun. If you've never been there before, just half-price beers on the party deck before kickoff. So you can get two beers for $9 on the party deck before kickoff. A little insider info there.
You talk like someone who would know.
I also may have gotten hustled out of it from one of the Rocket Men because he was on the beer deck. But I was like, he rang me up and I'm like, dude, it's half price. He's like, yeah. It's half price over there. I'm like, you jerk.
Nick, where are you at on this game, pick'em wise? I think I've kind of made what I'll be saying known.
24-14 cards.
You stole my score.
In fairness, I gave John Hale my score on Monday. And even though I am feeling better, because, you know, like Harold Later does their predictions, either Monday or Tuesday I gave it to him. And like, I actually am not. You're falling off the cliff right now, and I'm trying to like throw the rope to save you. Joe Burrow injury really happened at a bad time for you. Kenny Pickett, he's about to come to town. Matt Canada's fired, right? Like, I'm walking on sunshine right now as far as my NFL team goes. So I'm not as in dire straits as you are, and I'm feeling a little bit better. But ultimately, I just have so little faith in Devin Leary and this Kentucky offense to go on the road and get it done. So that's where I'm at. I think it might be close for a little while, but ultimately, Louisville pops a few. They're opportunistic, right? You were laughing at them and all the dumb things that have gone their way. But man, when those dumb opportunities, like sometimes you make your own luck. You take advantage of your own opportunities. That team's done it, and the team that we cheer for just hasn't done it at all this year.
Yeah, I mean, just these last two games, Nick, they could have lost either of them, and they outscored Miami and Virginia both combined 32-6 in the fourth quarter.
Consider this: like, if you're very worried, Virginia was down 14-0, and they were with 3 minutes to play in the third quarter. They were up 21-14 to start. It was 3:41 on the clock. They were up 21-14 to start the fourth quarter. So, like, it can be done if you're opportunistic. But that Louisville team is that they have been.
Yeah, I mean, there's any time in this winning streak for Kentucky, adversity hit, Louisville crumbled, right? Yes. 2021 was the big one. Like,
remember
once they had the fight with Vito, the game was over. Like, they were done after that.
The Lynn Bowden run to open the third quarter. I mean, when he was just throwing guys around, nobody wanted to tackle him anymore. The funniest one, though, was the guy who did it. They tried to kick off the field, and he just, like, refused to leave. That amused me.
And then last year was a little different, but, like, I think that Louisville just didn't have a quarterback.
Right? Yeah.
The Dome Man was out there, and you get to tell early, and they put Cunningham in for one drive, and then he turned it over, and they just weren't. And Kentucky just had probably one of their better offensive days of the year, and that's kind of what has happened in this series, and they would need that on Saturday, I think, to win. But you just have to trust this little team more, man. Like, when the game's on the line, they're making plays, and everything's hitting right for them. For Kentucky, they're not making plays, and everything's going against them. And that's what I think will happen on Saturday. I think it'll get in the fourth quarter. It'll be a close game. Louisville will make the plays, and Kentucky won't.
Well, you've heard the score from us. We're on the same wavelength there. One final question, and it's a great question from Michael Matthews in the chat. Michael, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate all of y'all participating in the chat. An hour later, we appreciate you all subscribing, smashing that like button. It really helps us out a lot. We're so thankful for that this Thanksgiving season. Michael's got the over-under on number of guys who hit the portal. And I think you're pulling up your list. I thought it was right around a dozen, which would be a normal year. I probably set it at 13.5, factoring in some guys they wouldn't lose, you know, that some unexpected departures. I'm thinking 13.5 is a decent line because there's a chance that under could hit.
Yeah, I think you're looking at right at 13-15.
Yeah, it's in that window. So, like, I think the fears of some mass exodus are just, like, people panicking because players are tweeting and players' parents are tweeting. That stuff happens. I mean, this isn't – that's what you happen when you have a bad team, right? Like, the players' parents, they've been talking all season. It just manifested on social media. You hate to see it, but, like, that stuff comes
– I don't want to read too much into it, but – Deion Walker talked yesterday, and he talked like a guy who has no plans on leaving.
He's ready to whip some asses into shape. Like, that's the kind of mindset I got from him, and that's really, if we're being honest here, Walker, the reason why I'm not dire straits is just Deion. Like, dude, Deion, you're our last hope, right? Like, he's R2-D2, you know? Like,
that is the guy to me.
He's the only guy I think any one of those playoff schools would kick the tires on at all to try to get. You know,
that's the other hidden secret in all of this. And I would say Harrison too's up there, really important.
Yeah,
because he's a good corner. And what we saw from this defense, they need that bad.
Well, and he's a good culture guy, too. Like, I didn't expect that, but shout out Detroit.
Yeah, so those are – there's a couple that you need to watch out for. You know, that you want to keep Dane Key here.
Yes.
Right? And so you're going to – you know, I don't know what's going on over there with them. I mean, it's been reported. Everybody see either his dad and his brother tweeted about the game Saturday. There was the Louisville rumor earlier. But tonight he was throwing L's down at their Thanksgiving dinner over at Merrill's house. So you're going to have – you need to keep him here. I think, you know, I don't know. I don't want to even handicap it. You know, what happens with Barry and Brown? I think, who knows? But after this year, like, the return on investment wasn't great, man. So maybe it's a better, you know, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to find receivers in that, but, like, you can't find Deion's, and then offensive linemen are hard to find.
Yeah, that's where it's
tough. So seeing how they manage that. But you can find good receivers. And so that's where I think they're going to be fine there. Like, I really do. I think we'll look back and we'll look at the roster and we'll be like, okay, they could do something with this.
And I think William can find a quarterback too.
I just more worry about just the offensive recruiting as a whole. Like, you can't just keep doing the portal stuff. Like, to me, this is kind of like what people used to do back when they would we'll just load up on JUCO. Like, eventually, you just can't keep doing that over and over. You've got to
Free agent signings in the pros, too. Yeah. Like, you got to draft well.
Yeah. You got to recruit and develop and get your guys. That's how you cultivate a good culture, man. Mm-hmm. Is those guys are here for a while and they take pride in it. And that's, you know, and if new guys come in, they got to answer, like, this is their program. It's not the new guys' pro, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like, if somebody comes in, this is our offense you're coming into. It's not, you know, your offense and we got to adjust to you.
Right.
So they got to get back to that offense. Defensively, I think they're doing that. When you look at, you know, you just look at the guys. They've hit on a bunch of 2020 guys maybe that aren't great, but are, you know, quality starters. You know, Hayes, Ripka, Ox, De'Aaron Jackson. Like, these are all guys. Andrew Phillips. These are all guys that are playing and are part of the defense. They don't have that on offense. They don't have starters or even guys that are playing in big roles. Like, Isaiah Cummings didn't play the last week. You know, in the class of 2020. And Jutah McClain's been in and out of the lineup. They just got to get better about finding their guys in high school on offense, developing them, and getting them into big roles. And that ends my roster building TED Talk.
Do you feel better now that you've said it out loud, got it off your chest?
I guess. But that's really bothering me. I'm not going to lie, as you can tell. It's really bothering me that they're at this spot. And I don't know how, like, I think it's almost, to me, it's got to be a long-term fix, unless you're just going to be a portal program, which I don't think they want to be. And so.
Well, couple Bud Lights and a turkey leg. It'll do you some good tomorrow. We hope everybody here has a safe and happy Thanksgiving. And we really hope the Cats do something crazy and win a fifth straight over the Cards and continue their domination in the Governor's Cup. It's at noon Saturday on ABC. 11 personnel will be in the house. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Kroger.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.